Joined now by Jamila Sheikh. Jamila is RNIB's Community Development Officer for Ethnic Minorities. But today we're going to talk about the person behind the role, aren't we, Jamila?
Yes.
But you're not alone. You've also got Bubbles with you, haven't you?
I've got my favourite friend, Bubbles.
Bubbles is a black lab with the shiniest, gorgeous coat, and she's very well behaved. So if we hear some rustling throughout the interview, that's why, Jamila.
Yes.
So, you grew up in London, I believe. Which part?
Fulham.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like growing up there?
Very nice, very pleasant. Bearing in mind the era that I was born in, very little ethnic minorities, and my sister and I, plus another one, was the only ethnic minority within that school. However, I had a very good childhood, very happy childhood, and growing up in a city that's vibrant and lively, I think it gave me passion to work with people.
Now, from leaving school, Jamila, you went to university to study to become an accountant. And then you wound up working for BT, I believe. Was that in an accountant's role?
It was working within the accounts department of British Telecom. I was a credit controller and set up the credit control accounts department there at that time.
And was that something you enjoyed doing?
Setting up the accounts department was interesting at that time, but the job in itself is not exactly an exciting job, looking at figures and trying to get people to pay their bills.
But it was figures you enjoyed, training to be an accountant?
Actually, I was pushed into it from my father. He really wanted me to do that.
Okay.
Not that my passion was that, but yeah, I quite enjoyed working with figures. Yes, it's logistically and logic thinking sort of idea behind that.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned the word passion there, Jamila. You had a passion, quite an unusual one, driving rally cars.
Well, it all came about working for British Telecom, and they had this scheme, you know, they had to team bonding activities, that sort of thing. And this was one of them, doing rally driving, and I, you know, enjoyed driving a car. I learned to drive in London, you know, and if anybody can go around that Hammersmith roundabout.
I was going to say that would be a challenge in itself.
In itself, yeah. And so you have to be kind of like aggressive and, you know, put your foot down when you safely. And that all came about with British Telecom. They had this team bonding thing, and I took it up and I enjoyed it. And that was something that I was doing when I was in my youth, as you can say.
Would you actually be racing other cars, Jamila?
Yeah, it was a weekend thing. And what you did, you had a team and you had a circuit to go through, and you had various different points in that circuit that you swap over your team. It's like, you know, doing a rally, and then you completed that in a time frame, but you was up against practically, you know, nearly 20 to 15 cars at one point, and you have to swing that car around. And yes, within that one point there were a couple of weekends that you did treasure hunting. You went round picking up clues in a car and then making sure you got to the next clue in speed and found the treasure at the end.
And were you quite competitive?
Very.
Good lap times then?
Yes.
And who provided the transport? Did you have to adapt your own car?
I had a co-driver, and she was very good with getting the car adapted and things like that, making sure the safety barriers were up and things like that. But I also had my own Nissan Micra that I very much enjoyed driving, and I did the treasure hunt in that.
I can't imagine it'd be too good for the car in the long run.
No, it was not too bad, as long as you kept maintaining the car, yeah.
So when did you and your husband decide to move from London up to Glasgow?
Well, my husband decided that London was too competitive. He wanted his own business, and Glasgow was a better place for him to start his own business. And we ended up coming up to Glasgow, opening up a sandwich bar in Charing Cross. That was in my mid-30s, after I got married. had two children. The children were very young. Brought them up to Glasgow with us.
Yeah. So they have Glasgow accents now?
They're Scottish.
So what was it like, Jamila, eventually moving the family up to Scotland? You spoke earlier about a lack of ethnic diversity when you first arrived in London. How did you settle into life in Scotland?
I'd come and visited Glasgow a number of times, but actually making the move was quite difficult because, you know, I've got no links here. I have no friends and no relatives, and it was just the two of us trying to make it on our own. But we settled in. We had to just get on with it, you know. Through school, I think, you make your links with the children and the other mothers and the other parents, and then slowly your neighbours, and you build up friendship and links that way. But it was difficult at times, but we were so involved in setting up our business that we didn't have time for anything else, really.
Sure. And talk about the business. How did that go?
It went very well. Very successful business. We had it for about 7-8 years. We transformed the building, the layout of it, and then we decided to sell it. My husband decided to sell it. I was running the business with my husband, and shortly after that, my sight loss problems came about, and I lost my sight.
What was the condition that led to you losing your sight?
It was a slight blur in my left eye, and I thought it was just something in there that will wash out or, you know, go away. I didn't pay much attention to it, but then I was persuaded to go to the opticians, and they picked up that there was something going wrong in the back of my eye. I was referred to the Southern General, and then diagnosed the fact that I had cone dystrophy, and this was deterioration in sight that I'd probably lose my sight by the time I'm 60, 70.
Is this something that's hereditary in your own family?
It's meant to be an hereditary disease, but there's nobody in our family that has it.
And your children, how is their eyesight?
Their eyesight is perfect, but my eyesight was perfect at their age. They have been tested, and it seems that they should be okay.
So what were those intervening years like? Obviously, you'd moved up to Glasgow, which was a big move in itself, starting again, meeting new people. Then to have that news, how did you cope?
I was devastated. I thought, how do I actually bring up my children? And the fact that as my sight deteriorated, I had to come to terms that I had to give up my driving licence. And that was hard because, you know, you're driving your children around after school activities and things like that. That couldn't be done for me. You know, I had to rely on friends, neighbours to do that. And that wasn't always easy.
Sure.
And I think that was the most difficult thing for me.
How quickly did you have to give up your driving licence?
Within, I think, 3 years. After diagnosis.
Now, it was around this time, every silver cloud and all, you found out about the RNIB and started getting involved there, didn't you?
Yeah, because I was determined not to sit around and feel sorry for myself. I'm an active person, always been active, and I thought, okay, what's out there? Let's go and find out. I started volunteering for RNIB, and at this time, RNIB was just developing a programme to work with ethnic minorities, and I happened to be the right candidate at the right place, I think, and I then got the job.
So what sort of things do you do?
I actually support ethnic minority groups and support visually impaired people within that group. It's basically trying to identify them, first of all, and it's linking up with all the community-based, you know, activities that they do, the faith community, linking up with all the mosques, temples and gurdwaras, places like that, trying to identify any ethnic minority people that have sight loss, and then supporting them and linking them up to the various different services.
Did you find that a rewarding role?
Very much. A lot of people that I tend to go and see for the first time are amazed in the fact that I've got so much confidence. I go out and about very independently, and that's what they inspire to.
Yeah, so people can relate to you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And the fact that I'm bilingual and can speak some of the languages, so it's easy for me to communicate with them.
Now, you don't have your driving as such, but you've got a new passion that involves wheels.
Yes, it does. It doesn't involve four wheels, but two wheels. I was introduced to the tandem, which I thoroughly enjoy. And, you know, it gives me that freedom, mm-hmm. gives me that speed that I've lost in my driving. I've done a couple of tandem rides around Glasgow, and we normally train. My pilot is Rosemary Cameron. She used to work for Visibility and did tandem training and tandem riding with Visibility, and that's how I was introduced to Rosemary. But then I picked it up when I was speaking to Rosemary within R&IB, and we just decided to go for it. And we are so well matched that we both enjoy it.
Who does the most pedaling?
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
So what's next for you, Jamila?
Well, I'm working on a big event, a fundraising event for Talking Books, and it's called Celebrating Diversity, Getting Connected. This is also celebrating the 150th R&IB celebrations. So we're doing a diversity event at the Lawn Hotel, Glasgow, on the 20th of October. This is really celebrating the kind of work that we've been doing with ethnic minority groups. The other team, the Diversity Insight team, has been doing, and also introducing other organisations, other people to link up with us and, you know, get involved.
Connect being the operative word.
Connect being the operative word, yes. And raising funds as well for Talking Books, which I'm passionate about.
How do people find out more about that event, Jamila?
They can contact me, email me on jamila.shake@rnib.org.uk, or they can call me on 077-95-808-740.
Jamila Shake, RNIB's Community Development Officer for Ethnic Minorities. Thanks for sharing your story with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.